Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me on another show. This is Out There, and my guest, she's back, Ingrid Dean from Traverse City, Michigan. How are you doing, Ingrid?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. I see that your book's getting a little attention, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Spirit of the Badge. Now, this is a book, again, if you want to remind people what the book is about.
It's a collection of 60 true police stories of divine guidance, miracles, and inspiration. That has a real deep heart quality to the stories, in addition to a metaphysical perspective.
So, some of the stories are a little bizarre. You know, police have experienced some strange things, but a lot of them are very, you see the softer side, or maybe just the real side of police officers. And you told me before that the public maybe doesn't view you, you know, as people with feelings, compassion, but police officers are very compassionate, aren't they?
They sure are. And overall, I've seen incredible, heart-wrenching things that they've done. They enter into police work as a service, whether they're conscious or unconscious about it. I genuinely think that police officers and first responders join the work to be of help.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the reason a lot of people go into whatever field they choose. If you're going to be a doctor or a nurse, you know, maybe initially that's why you go into it, because maybe you want to make a difference. So, you know, we look at them with the uniform, and I think there's a distance maybe that separates us a little bit, because they have to act very professional, don't they?
Yes, and I think the uniform has sort of a conformist quality to it that instantly seems to create a little bit of distance or separateness.
And there has to be some of that, don't you think?
What's that?
There has to be a little bit of that, too.
I think so. We do have a job and a certain element of professionalism that's expected of us. We are servants to the people, and so the uniform sets us apart in that respect.
Right. And so that's where I think it's always tough for people to make that connection. And if you have family members that have served as police officers, or you get to know some of the local cops, you realize, hey, you know, they're just regular folks trying to live their life like anybody else.
Well, they are, but I do feel that it goes further than that. You know, there's an element of compassion that we really do bring into our work that's forgotten. And I think that everyone on this planet should be compassionate. That's kind of our overall human goal, is to be more compassionate and connected with others. And I really do feel that police officers and first responders try to do this in their own way.
Mm-hmm. And there are other folks, too, outside of that, that do that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Do it in their own way. So Spirit of the Badge has been out for, when did it officially come out, October?
The release date was October the 1st.
And you've been traveling all over the country, haven't you?
Yes, it's been very exciting. Meeting lots of people and just talking to people that I wouldn't have otherwise had a connection with. So it's been quite wonderful.
Now, refresh my memory on this. How did you get started on all of this? I remember you said there was a story behind this. You had to do some kind of research, or was it a paper you had to write or something? Or
I did. I went back to school to a university that's connected with the Edgar Cayce ARE Foundation. I did this after about 15 years in law enforcement, and it was pretty much to energize myself, to get connected again. You know, I think sometimes the work can be very exhausting, and it's important to refresh our horizons. So I went back to school, and this project was my master's culminating project. and it involved collecting stories from officers around the country in the Midwest. And at first I was a little nervous because of the nature of the stories that I wanted, which are paranormal, synchronistic, and intuitive. And I found that police officers were actually very open to sharing their stories with me. And I think partly because I'm in law enforcement and they knew that I wouldn't embarrass them.
Right. They trusted you. They wouldn't probably trust the regular civilian population, would they?
Probably not initially. We mostly talk amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as I continue with the project and as I continue with the second book, that word will get out and more officers will become more open to sharing.
And maybe more people see officers in a different light. That's part of it.
I hope so. Yes. I'd like them to see us in a more compassionate light,
right.
That we are indeed of service.
It's not like the TV shows where you're going to run to the scene and bullets are flying and Miami Vice or what's the other one I see all the time that just I think is kind of a the CSI Miami one, you know?
Right.
That one's always boom, 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 shoot it out, boom, boom, boom.
Right, and the majority of our work is just not like that. I mean, we have our moments, our
right.
adventurous, exciting moments like that, but I think some of the more simple moments are more endearing, and those are the moments that aren't shared much.
Right, the contact that you have with others and the ability to change their lives, or maybe even in return, they change your life. And so it's a gift all the way around.
That's right.
So you've been on, like, Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
That was one of your more recent... That was a three-hour show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Very exciting.
How does George Norrie keep it going for 3 hours?
Well, actually, I had some of my friends available to interview on the show because I felt that hearing these stories directly from the officers themselves really lends, you know, credibility to the book, and I wanted the public to hear the stories from the officers themselves. So that was a lot of fun, and 3 hours went by very quickly.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, George Norrie, was he good to deal with? He seems like a really decent guy.
He was awesome. Nothing but a gentleman. I could talk with him for hours.
Really?
Very nice man.
That's awesome. And so you didn't talk to Art Bell at all?
No, I didn't.
Didn't want to talk to Art Bell, maybe?
Well, I would love to talk to Art Bell someday. You never know.
Seems a little more hype than George to me. A little
he
more
is,
a...
but very interesting and certainly poses challenging questions.
Oh, so
I'm sure he'd be fun too.
Absolutely. And you also were on what other programs too? Probably many of them, right?
I've really been fortunate and feel very blessed to have been on a number of different radio shows, small and large, a couple very interesting television interviews. It's taking some time to get the word out, but I think that's part of the process, and it's part of the project.
So you just got back from, what was it, South Carolina?
Yes.
How was that? That was the TV show down there?
Yes, it was so much fun. I got to interview on a television show called Your Carolina.
Really?
Yes. And fabulous people. Met people in the process. Wonderful.
Now, on those type of shows, they're not really paranormal-related shows, are they?
No. These are just regular, conventional television talk shows.
Okay. So how do people treat you on that?
Very well.
Even when you talk about some of the strange stuff?
Sure. In fact, I think that they're so surprised. It's wonderful to see, you know, their expressions and their reactions to the emotional stories as well as the very mysterious, unexplainable ones.
Well, we're going to share some of those stories in just a little bit here. Ingrid's going to talk about, because last time we talked about some of the paranormal stuff. But, you know, my program is about self-awareness, and that to me is very important. And that's your book has it all. Your book touches on all those things. So Ingrid Dean, who's been, how long have you been with the state police now?
20 years.
And not all of it's been in Traverse City. You've bounced around a bit. And you can check out spiritofthebadge.com. We'll continue in just a moment with Ingrid Dean from Traverse City.
Out there, out there, out there, out there.
Hi, this is Ingrid Dean, author of Spirit of the Badge, 62 Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. Please go to my website at spiritofthebadge.com and check out my interviews with officers.
It's out there.
Her name is Ingrid Dean. She's authored Spirit of the Badge. You can go to spiritofthebadge.com. She's been on my show before. Matter of fact, I think we did, what was it, three parts? Was it? We did a couple of parts, at least, when you were on the last time. And then we also had another fella by the name of TJ who narrated. How's your audio? Are you still doing the audio?
Yes. In fact, the audio book is now technically complete, and I'm just making copies of it, so it'll be available as of December the 1st.
It's really
time for Christmas.
Really well done, too. I mean, they have the effects in it. TJ, not me, the other TJ is very good at narrating. I'm surprised he hasn't done this before. You said he doesn't have a lot of experience with this.
His name is TJ Chalker, and he's from Southern Michigan, and this was the first, I believe, the first audio book that he attempted. And what's so great is that he really flourished with his voice talent.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the voice of each story. Like one story's in a Southern accent and another one's in a Yuper accent.
Yeah.
So it's really a lot of fun.
It's entertaining. Very entertaining. Very well done. But your book, like you said, we talked about before, and we don't want to talk about the same stuff we talked about last time, and it doesn't really matter to me because I just think putting the word out there, but your book deals with several different things, and I think being an officer, you know, you have to sharpen your, become more intuitive to become a better officer. Is that true? Is that something you develop?
I think that because we're under such pressure and stress sometimes that we're often pushed beyond our five senses, and I do feel that just as the years go by and our experience grows, we learn to listen to our own inner voice. Our intuition or gut instinct,
or
if you want to call it divine guidance, absolutely.
And you know, and I'm sure others can relate to that. Maybe in their whatever field they're in, if it pushes them where they have to call on that, you know, in some way, or even in your own life, you know, I know that's developed with me as well to learn to listen to my inner voice. But you have a story about a man who lost a badge. And then it was found in a remarkable... What is the name of that story?
It's called The Lost Badge, and it's about a Canadian conservation officer who loses his badge. He's just about ready to report it to his supervisor when he gets dispatched to a forest about 100 miles north in the province of Ontario.
So he got dispatched 100 miles north.
Right.
Totally away from where he was at.
Yes, I don't believe he ever even visited this particular forest, but it had been knocked down by some wind shear, which is almost like a tornado.
Right.
And so he went up there to inspect the damages. And in the process of walking over and stumbling over all of these trees that have been knocked down, he's trying to reach this eagle's nest that he sees in the distance that came down with the tree. And his biggest concern is that there's eaglets in the nest, and so his intention was to get the eaglets and perhaps transfer them to a refuge. So when he finally makes it up to the nest, it's fortunate there's no eaglets in there, but he's very surprised when he sees something shiny among the branches, and he inspects more closely and actually pulls out his own badge.
Wow. So,
like, what are the odds of that?
And how did it get there?
Who knows? That's the wonder of the story. You would probably suspect that it was an eagle who are known to like shiny objects and pick them up. But what are the odds that the eagle would take it to its nest 100 miles north, and then the very officer that lost it, what are the odds that he would find it?
I'd say that it's beyond those kind of odds, and it's something that really was meant to be. And, you know, it's just an incredible story. It's amazing how he found it. It was meant to find it. And all of that plays out the right way. We always have these signs, don't we?
It is. It's amazing.
We always have these signs around us if we just look for them. And sometimes we have to ask for them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you the story about, did I ever tell you the bald eagle story that I had?
I don't think so.
One time I was, once upon a time, many years ago, in a land of disc jockey. No, actually, I was, this is probably like, maybe a few years ago, 2007, a couple of years ago. I was coming home, and I had to come back to work. But normally when I go to, when I work on the radio, you know, I'm not always really dressed up. You know, I just kind of come in casual. And then I had to go do a live broadcast later in the day, and I forgot about it. So I thought, oh, I better run home and clean up a little bit and put on a nice shirt and whatever, you know. And so I drove home, which I live about 20 minutes out of town. And I got to these railroad tracks, which are fairly close to my house, and I stopped just before the tracks, and I looked to my left, and there was a bald eagle sitting on the tracks, and he was staring right in the direction of my house, no more than 20 feet away from me.
Wow.
And I looked over at him. I went, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he kind of just sat there, did nothing, didn't fly off. And I went, which is a noise my mom always made with animals. I don't know why it works. And he turned his head slowly, and he looked at me and said, he didn't say this. If he said something, that would be really incredible.
Boy, you read his mind.
He just looked at me and like, almost like, you're pissing me off. That's what it looked like. He's like, had that stern look in his face. Or maybe just like, I see you. I know you're here. And so I thought, this is incredible. Now, what are the odds that he just sits there like that?
Right.
And so, again, this could be nothing, right? Could be nothing.
Right.
But I think everything, especially stuff like that, is meant for something. And so I go in the house, and I change, and I come back out thinking, boy, I hope he's there. I want to snap a picture on my phone. Well, as I'm pulling up the opposite way now, I stop at the tracks, and now, of course, he's on my right side. And I see these two guys pulling up on the tracks in one of those vehicles that it's like a truck, but it's been fitted to ride on the tracks.
Right.
And they get out, and one of them's got a little bag with him. And I said, you see the eagle over there? And they go, yeah, yeah, we know it's there. And I don't know how they knew it was there. Maybe it had been there for all day, for all I know. I don't know how they knew that. And we're going to catch it because we think it's injured.
Oh.
And I thought, you ain't going to catch it with that little bag. You're going to be torn to pieces if you try to catch that eagle.
Right.
And so one guy got maybe within 15 feet. He tried to circle around it. The other guy walked down the track slowly. And the bird just flew off to a tree. And at the whole time, he was pretty much just staring in the direction of my house. Now, maybe he was seeing me as a meal. I mean, I'm not a real big guy, so maybe he thought...
Or perhaps he sees something that was around your house, could be an animal.
Well, to me, the animals, you know, there's a book called Animals Speak. I don't know if you've read that before.
No.
It talks about when animals come in contact with us, what they really mean. You know, and kind of the native belief is connected to this somewhat, I think, as well.
Right.
And, you know, with the eagle, what I learned from that is, for one, there's times that you have to be strong. It was telling me, I think. And there also are times, because eagles can tear things apart pretty easily with their strong talons.
Right.
They were kind of saying to me, choose my words carefully and be careful how I use them, because sometimes... I'm a pretty witty guy, you know, and pretty silly sometimes, as you know, right?
Right.
So I have to be more careful when I deal with people, you know, about things, because it's easy for me to come up with something pretty quick, because I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
So I saw that as a great lesson. And I've had other animals in my yard, or other animals that I've seen close up, to me was a great message. So the fact that this officer had something to do with eagles... Perhaps there's more to this story than what you told.
Right.
Perhaps this eagle is also telling him something about himself.
And I know that there's various messages symbolically from different cultures on different animals. So it'd be interesting to know, you know, what the symbolic message of the eagle is.
Well, I can tell you,
officer.
You know, what I'll do is I'll look that up in that book I have, and I'll email you the whole story on what it says, if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all.
What it says about eagles. Have you had any animals in your life that have done things that don't quite seem normal?
Oh, yes. I had to think a second because I have such a connection with animals. I love the woods and wildlife, and you know, I've had the opportunity to harvest a couple animals as well. The elk is probably my totem animal.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Now.
Good.
And they're just a beautiful, majestic creature that's very social. And so the message from the elk to me right now is that it's time to be social, to connect, you know, to help officers by getting this book out and to meet new people. And the elk symbolizes that to me.
Interesting. We have to take a break. Ingrid Dean from Traverse City, Michigan, spiritofthebadge.com. That's where you find the book. We'll talk some more. We can go so many different directions. It's funny, but it's great. And we'll be back shortly.
Out there.
Well, this might be a little dumb. Some of you might think this is a little stupid. I talk about acting like a kid and being a kid in this interview, and I love being like that, being a little silly, and maybe not everybody sees that, you know. But I did, the other day at work, I put together this, hopefully no offense to anybody, it's called Rupert the Redneck Reindeer, and it's just a lot of fun to do it, and I know it's nothing spectacular, but maybe you get a chuckle out of it, maybe you'll think I'm just an idiot, which many already know.
That's right there, Ty. That's what you do. The star. You know Buford, Bubba, and Billy Bob, and Cletus, Hector, and Bobby, and Junior, and Remus. But do you recall the biggest redneck reindeer of them all? Rupert the Redneck Reindeer had a very dirty nose. And if you ever saw it, you would say, heck, that dirt thing blows. All of the other rednecks used to laugh and call him names. They never let old Rupert play any marry your cousin games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa changed his luck. Rupert, with your dirty nose, won't you drive my pickup truck? Then all the rednecks loved him as they shouted out for what to do. Rupert, the redneck reindeer, let's go have some of Granny's pots of stew.
Yeah, that's a proud moment. Well, what are you going to do? You know, have some fun in life. Break a few eggs. Enjoy things. Don't be afraid to do some things, right? And hopefully people still listen to this show after that. By the way, you can find this show at outthere.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out
there. Ingrid Dean is with me today on Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me. And we were talking about animals and their connection to us, because I never used to understand this. You know, I've always been open. I love animals, like you do, and have a great respect for them. And so now I'm starting to see some of that, you know. We had talked about an eagle, but also like chickadees have been part of my life. And there was actually a friend of mine who passed away, and I really believe he was communicating to me and his widow, who was on the phone at the time. Because this chickadee did all these amazing things that I've never seen a chickadee do. And he kept talking to me the whole time. Blah, 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 blah. On the end of my deck while I'm talking.
That's so interesting, because one of the stories in the book, and I can't remember the title of it offhand, but it's a story by the chief in Manistique,
yes,
Michigan, up your way.
I remember that story.
Yes, and he talks about his mother, who was aging and was getting ready to transition.
When you say transition, that means
to die.
Pass away.
Okay. Right. And it's a very heartwarming story, and you can certainly see how much the officer loves his mother. And she's in the hospital one day, right at the beginning of hunting season, which right now is the second day of hunting season, mm-hmm. I believe, or the third day. And she encouraged him to go hunting with her grandchild, I believe, or actually it would have been his nephew, a young man. And he didn't want to go. He felt he should stay at the hospital with his mom. She was so sick, and she kept encouraging him, and finally he said, okay. And she said, be sure to bring me back a deer. And so I said, okay, Mom. So he goes, and he drives up a two-track with his nephew, and he parks the car, and he has a blind built and sends his nephew in that direction. And he just stays at his car because he's just reflecting and really not in the mood to go out into the woods with his rifle. So he's sitting on the car, and it's had been a kind of a thundery, blistery day, the clouds, lots of clouds in the sky. And then suddenly the clouds clear away, and the sun is shining, and it's all of a sudden a blue sky, and this huge chickadee lands on the car. And what's so interesting is that in the beginning of the story, his mother talks about the chickadees and how important they are to her. Mm. And in her later days, all she would do would be to watch the chickadees from inside her house. So when the chickadee lands, it's really a big chickadee. It's not a normal size.
It's either a six-foot chickadee.
It just about. That's almost how he describes it.
It's a big one.
And it's just chirping away. And then all of a sudden, he sees his best friend's vehicle coming towards him on the two-track. And he just suddenly knows intuitively that his mother's passed away. And he really feels that somehow the chickadee brought that message, and that it was actually some form of his mother, because she once said that if she could be an animal, she'd want to be a chickadee.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That was a beautiful story.
That really is neat. And then also, didn't it have something to do with uniforms, too, that they wound up? Was that the story where they got new uniforms?
That was a different story,
okay.
I believe, and it was a different story about another prophetic mom. Very heartwarming as well.
So there's a lot of heartwarming stories in your book, and your book is really, if you cut right through all of it, it's really written out of love, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Love for the officers that you work with, even the officers you don't know, but maybe mankind in general, correct?
Yes.
And that's what I like about it. I like something that, I think the paranormal is trying to teach us that. It's trying to teach us these strange things that go on. A lot of times are messages that we just don't always recognize. And we may not recognize our whole life unless we start looking around. And sometimes maybe we just happen to walk up on a ghost. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with that. But, again, even then, it's trying to open up our eyes that other things exist.
Well, and I believe the big message in the whole picture, the paranormal and the intuitive and everything else that's unexplainable, is just what you said. It's all about love. I mean, did you know that there's new scientific evidence that the heart sends us emotional and intuitive signals to help govern our lives? Have you studied any of the science behind the heart and actually how big that is?
No. I don't know. You mean the heart actually does?
Yeah, the heart is the most powerful generator of electromagnetic energy in the human body.
So the heart, you're saying, is going to send us things, not the brain.
Right. It has an intelligence of its own.
It actually has a... See, this is what I heard years ago, too. Now, this is interesting that you say this. And I don't know where... I know where I heard it. But behind the heart is where the soul lies.
Yes. To the soul.
And to me, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
It's not the actual physical heart. It's the essence of who we are.
It's the deeper part of the heart that sometimes I don't think we understand. It produces the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field of any of the body's organs, even just physically. Mm. So there's an energetic quality, a soul value of the heart that I don't think we really understand yet.
So when we pass away, what part of us goes on? Is it that essence that's part of that heart, you're saying?
I believe that. Okay. You know, that's my opinion, that it truly
is. Well, then it's got to be right, because Ingrid Dean says, and she's an author, she's been on Coast to Coast, and this program, so it's right. We've established that as law now.
Well, seriously, you know, the heart's electrical field is about 60 times greater in amplitude than the electrical activity generated by the brain. And
so what does that say about the brain? What's the brain? Is the brain, here's what I've heard before about the brain is a receiver. It's used to receive. And if we only use 10%, I guess we're not receiving a lot. And if we have a way to open that up to what's called super consciousness, to where we can receive everything, then
I think it's through the heart. I really do. I think that somehow it's through the heart. And even though I'm not a doctor and I'm not an expert on organs and you know, electromagnetic energy, I just think that the heart is so great in strength that it goes leaps and bounds over our brain.
Because that's
in fact,
really
they say 5,000 times greater in strength.
Really?
Yes, wow. Than the brain.
So the heart's pretty important.
I think so. I really do.
See, I'm thinking that's where our essence is. That's why it is so valuable. Now, if my essence was hanging out in my rear end, where a lot of people might think it is, then I'd have a lot of strength down there, Ingrid. You think?
Well, hard to respond to that.
She doesn't know what to say to that. Well, you know me well enough now that I'm going to be a little bit silly. And I believe in being a kid at heart as much as possible, because I just think that's who we are in our true essence, is we come into this world all wide-eyed. And isn't that great, being like that? Think back to the innocence and the joy of being a kid.
Yeah.
And we lose that. And I don't want to ever lose that, Ingrid. I don't want to ever lose that.
Well, I think innocence keeps us young.
Yeah.
I really do. That quality that we sometimes miss or forget about, you know, that's what ages us.
And also forgetting what it's like to just be a little silly and to play and have fun. And I'm not saying you have to play games you did when you were a kid, but just have a little fun. Learn to laugh.
Right.
And enjoy things and maybe not be so serious. I know in your job, partly that's hard to do, but in my job, it's real easy.
You'd be surprised. As I've talked to so many officers now in this project for this book, I've really learned about their humor. You know, they're really very funny.
Right.
If they relax a little bit or you can, you know, see them on a more human level and talk to them on a more human level, they're so funny. They love to laugh, and they do incorporate innocence into their work. Believe it or not, you don't think so because they don't usually share that side of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, amongst ourselves, there's a huge innocent quality that I've really come to respect and admire throughout this project.
Well, and also we want to say thank you to those that choose to serve in that field. And, you know, we honor the veterans, but also let's honor the police, too, all over the world, that just do what they can to keep us safe, to drop what they're doing on a moment's notice, and take on those kind of jobs. So, Ingrid, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
Just that you can find the book on my website, Spirit of the Badge. .com, and that again, there is an audio book available now that really brings many of those stories alive with the music and the sound effects and the different voices. And it's almost Christmas. The book and the audio book make wonderful gifts, and I hope people decide to read the book and hear the stories.
It's really
quite heartfelt.
Really good book. Yeah. It really is. I wouldn't say that if I didn't think so. And it's like, I really enjoyed it, as I said the last time. So.
Well, and I also wanted to mention, too, that any officers listening or friends of officers who have special stories that fall under this, under these chapters or, you know, the metaphysical nature, to please contact me through my website. I'd love to hear your story, and we do have a second book coming out in the next few months, so would love to hear from you.
Great. Well, I look forward to talking to you again, Ingrid.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.